Right. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Titus chapter 2, 11 to 14. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn, my page went blank there, turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. Lord, may you bless your word this morning in our hearing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I want to just share with you some practical truths about living for God and living a right life. And this is acting up here today, which must mean it's going to be a good message because it's acting up on me here. But as Christians, you know, sometimes we need reminders from time to time that God expects us to live differently than the world we live in. And the Apostle Paul, he gives us some biblical teachings that needs to be applied to that. This is really having fun here today. This is going to be an interesting message. And throughout history, you know, we see that every generation needs to be reminded of the biblical teachings of Scripture. And that includes us, because it just seems to happen as you look throughout history that people serve the Lord well. Even in the when you read about the people of Israel, they serve the Lord well for so many years, and then seems to come to a place where they begin to get cold, they kind of drift away, and then there's another resurgence. And when you look at history in our modern world, you'll also see the very same thing, that in our world you'll see a wave come up where people are all serving the Lord after God, and then kind of that wave gets down and then comes back up again. And I think we're getting near where that wave is starting to come up again, where people are turning their faces and their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we face this world and as we live in this world, there will be challenges that we will face. And we need to be aware that we all will face opposition. Everyone who tries to live a godly life is going to face opposition. You're going to face some persecution. You're going to face some troubles. We also will face false teachers and people that will twist the word of God and deceive and distract us. And if that's not enough, there's also the demons of hell and Satan himself that work against us to try to take away any seed that falls in our hearts or in our lives to believe in Jesus, that he will grab that seed, try to take it away from us so that we don't follow through with serving the Lord. There's a lot of deception that is going around, and we should be expecting that. The Bible tells us that, and that's why it tells you need to stick close to the Bible and what the Bible says. And sometimes, you know, we can be listening to all the things of this world, discerning what other people are saying, and be led astray to be contrary to the Scriptures. And so we need to be careful of those things. Now, the early church was experiencing some of those falsehoods. It's kind of interesting as you read the Scriptures that, you know, after the resurrection of Christ, that so soon afterwards, people were starting to fall away. And again, why we need to hold tightly to the word of God that is in us, to hold tightly to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so he gives some pretty clear instructions here about what's expected of us as believers. And he goes from the older men to the older women, down to the younger men and women, down even to those who would be considered as slaves. And he reminds them all that it's important for all of us to have right living. And so he was talking about it was important that believers understood what's expected of them. And the purpose of all of that is that we would live our lives pleasing to God, but also something else, that we would live our lives in such a way that we'd be a positive witness for Jesus Christ, causing the gospel to be attractive to unbelievers. You know, sometimes, you know, as human beings, we kind of get caught up in doing things that are pleasing to ourselves. Or sometimes we just, you know, pursue the things of life that we neglect the things that God is wanting us to do. And certainly God wants us to draw closer to him, and he wants us to reach our world with his gospel. Now, that's not done by compromise. Sometimes people go that way and think, well, if we're more like the world, then more people will respond. And we've seen that happen, and that doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. How we reach people is by holding to the truth of God's word. And another area here that is pointed out in this passage, in this chapter, actually speaks of our need to be understanding, gracious. And lots of times we apply that just to one another as Christians, which is important. We should be gracious to one another. But it's also that we need to be gracious to the world that we're trying to reach. And sometimes, you know, we kind of forget that, you know, once we were in moral darkness, we didn't know any better. We had no idea what is Christianity or who is Jesus or what he stands for or what a Christian stands for. And we need to remember that the world is often unaware of their need of Christ, or they're unaware of what the Bible teaches or what Christianity really means. And so we have a job to do, all of us, to represent Christ in our world, not just through our words, not just through our teachings, but also through our very lives and our lifestyle. And so, you know, that's important for us to remember. You know, our part is not to condemn the world, but rather to teach the ways of God and live according to what the Bible says. Your life is to be a testimony, a living testimony to the world that should attract people to Jesus Christ. Now, we recognize that Christianity throughout history sometimes has been used in the wrong ways and caused the gospel to be rejected. We can see how residential schools ended up turning people off instead of turning people on to the gospel. And there's lots of things throughout history that have been done, you know, in the name of Jesus that had nothing to do with Jesus. And again, we need to be careful of those things. The Apostle Paul, he's pointing out to us that we need to give grace, understanding where our world is coming from. And it can be, shouldn't be hard, because all of us were in the world. We were there. And so we should understand that, yes, I didn't understand anything. I didn't know nothing about Jesus. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I didn't know how I was supposed to live, because none of those things were taught to me. Some of us here were blessed that we were raised up in a society where it used to be that way, that morals were very important, and everyone used to have the same kind of morals because it was based on the word of God. But today in our world, that's kind of all thrown out, and people are living in the ways that they think is right in their own eyes. So as we think of these things, that our job is to reach out, touch people, how are we doing? Are we drawing people to Christ by our words, by our actions, by our lifestyles, or are we pushing people away from Christ? And so our job here is to promote Jesus. This morning in our worship, just beautiful time of worship, beautiful songs this morning, and they were really hitting on the fact about Jesus and how important Jesus is to us. And that is the truth. Jesus is very important to us here in this place. And we want to make sure we lift up Jesus in this place. And so Paul gives us some pretty clear instructions here about how we can do that through our lifestyle, not just our words, but through our lifestyle. And the first part that he gets to is that, you know, right living for a Christian starts with a godly life. And I realize that, you know, that's not popular teaching anymore, but it's what the Word of God teaches. We're to live like God. We're to live like Jesus. We're to live righteously. That's what the Bible says. Titus 2:12. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. And clearly, we're not to be like the world. We do not make the gospel attractive to the world by living the same as the world. That's one of the charges that we hear a lot from the world of, why do I need to accept Jesus when I look at your life and your life is the same as mine? The only difference is you go to church and I don't. And so we need to be careful of that our life makes a difference and that we ourselves turn from godless living and from following the sinful pleasures of this world. Because the world watches us. It really, really does. Sometimes it watches us far more than what we watch ourselves. And the Bible says, turn from godless living. Follow through with your repentance of the wrong things that you have done with a new commitment to not return back to your former way of living. We're not the same. We're not to live the same as our world that we live in. That's important for us to recognize. We need to be showing that the gospel of Jesus Christ changes our lives, not just in a profession, but in our lifestyle, in our speaking, and in everything that we do. 1 Peter 1 says this. It says, so you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scripture says, you must be holy because I am holy. You know, that's not a popular teaching anymore. And actually, we like to look for messages out there today where we can excuse our sin or live comfortably with our sin instead of deal with our sin. Until we deal with our sin, we're really missing it. And so you need to deal with your sin. And if you've given up something for the Lord, don't pick it up again. A lot of people make that mistake and then they get into bondage. And second time through, it's a whole lot harder if you had to listen to the first time the Lord spoke. So if you, the Lord speaks to you about something, to give it up, to drop it, don't argue with them, just do it. And don't pick it up again. And, you know, I know a lot of Christians, even pastors and leaders, unfortunately, sitting a lot of that encouraging, compromising ways and saying, it's okay. And that's not good. The world is hitting us on that and really pointing out to us like, hey, you got things going on in your own circles that you guys need to be paying attention to and dealing with. So again, we need to come back to that place. Our standard comes from the Word of God. We need to keep that focus on the Bible. Paul, speaking to young Timothy as he's starting out in ministry, he says these words in 1 Timothy 6:11. But you, Timothy, are a man of God. So run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness, a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. So as Christians, we are to pursue a godly life. Make sure that we are an example in our faith that draws people to Jesus. And that's kind of the crux of the matter, that our lives need to draw people to Jesus Christ. And so right living is going to start with turning from godless living, turning from our sinful practices, and following the Lord. Then secondly, in right living for Christians, we're to live with wisdom. Wisdom that comes from God in our faith in Jesus Christ. Titus 2:12 says, and we are instructed to turn from godless living and from sinful pleasures. We should live like this. It's blanking out on me here this morning. Those little technology demons are having fun. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. And as we live in this world, you know what? It requires a lot of wisdom, a lot of determination in our lives to live our lives with righteousness and devotion to Jesus Christ. Because there's a lot of pull that happens all the time as we live our lives in this world. It's pulling this way, that way. And we got to keep that focus upon Jesus Christ and how we respond to our world. And that's something I pray for myself too. God, I need a better wisdom to deal with the world that I'm living in today, because this world is changing so much, and almost daily it's changing. And so that's where I'm praying for myself. God, help me with wisdom, because there's things now that are happening that sometimes are just up and above us and we don't know the backgrounds or all those things, and saying, God, give me wisdom. And that is what we need. I think all of us need that, or should be our cry for wisdom. Living in our world requires wisdom, discipline in our walk, responses in everything that we do and say. And how do we get it? James 3:17-18 says, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure, it's peace-loving, it's gentle, it's willing to yield to others, it is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds, it shows no favoritism, it's always sincere, and those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. You know, sometimes it can be hard to respond to our world in the way that God wants us to, because sometimes our flesh is pretty good. And I know I've stopped watching a lot of news just because my flesh rises up when I listen to a lot of the news and things that are going on. But at the same time, God is trying to teach us things of graciousness and understanding, some wisdom, sometimes a yielding of our rights, sometimes being more loving, that we might reach our world through our words and our action. You know, true wisdom is going to result with good things. It's going to result with good deeds. It's going to result with sincerity and peace and love for us. And even the Bible says a harvest of people coming to faith in Christ. So again, are we attracting people or are we pushing them away? Another good response to living with wisdom in this world are the words by Jesus himself. Matthew 10:16, he says, look, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. It's kind of a good reminder that our world is often hostile towards believers. And we need to realize that that's the truth. The world's not going to be patting you on the back all the time. There'll be things that you'll do that they'll say, man, that's awesome, that's good. But there'll be sometimes they'll come at you and they'll just want to devour you. And the Bible says that will happen. That will take place. You need to be aware of that. But he's also emphasizing here that we need wisdom, discernment to avoid traps and difficult situations that can lead to harm or further persecution or rejection of the gospel. And again, we need that wisdom that we can respond to our world with a right heart, with love and wisdom from above. Now, I know a lot of that also comes to our personalities. My personality would be, I'm a very cautious person. A second name would be for me, maybe Mr. Caution. And I am, I'm a very cautious person. I try to look at all the factors before I respond, because if I respond too quick, I usually mess it up anyway. Or that, look to the Lord. Now, other people, you might be more like, I'm just going to grab the bull by the horns and just go at it. And we all have different personalities in how we respond. But the fact of the matter is, no matter what our personalities might be, we all need wisdom. And the wisdom that comes from God. And I'm praying for more of that. You know, we don't want more trouble on ourselves by our responses. We don't want to be doing things in anger or malice or with wrong motives. But at the same time, we don't want to be guilty of being naive, gullible, because sometimes as Christians, we are naive, we are gullible, and that's something we don't definitely want to be. It's a tricky world out there. I don't know if you noticed that. You know, it really is. It's hostile towards your faith, and there's going to be times where you're going to have to make a stand, and there may be times when you don't make a stand. Well, how do we know that? Well, we're going to have to look for the wisdom that's from above and what God is telling us and how God is guiding us. I know that our hearts here in this place is to be like Jesus, to be more like Jesus. And, you know, when I look at Jesus, I'm saying, Lord, I need the wisdom that you had, because when you look at Jesus, they were constantly trying to trap him all the time. But you could never trap Jesus. I like the time when they thought that we're going to trap Jesus here and we're going to talk to him about money. And money can always be a good trap as well. And so, you know, should we be paying taxes to Caesar or not? That was a trick question. They didn't care at all. But Jesus responded to them by saying, well, if you take a coin, whose inscription is on it? And they said, well, it's Caesar's. And he gave those famous words, give to Caesar's what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God. And I look at that and say, Jesus, man, I need that kind of wisdom. I need to be able to respond when the world is trying to distract me or destroy me or get me in a compromising situation, that I hear from the Lord and that I respond as Jesus would respond. Then thirdly, in right living for Christians, we're to live with the reality of Christ's return and allow that reality to inspire us to be faithful to the Lord at all times. Titus 2:13, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. You know, it's interesting reading through history, reading through revivals, how important was that in every revival that happened, people talked about the coming of the Lord and also talked about the soon coming of the Lord. And as we look back throughout history and we're thinking like, wow, there's been a lot. There's been hundreds of years that have passed. And they were expecting that the coming of Jesus is going to be now. And, you know, that is something that God wants us to be expecting that way, that we would live our lives as if Jesus was coming today or coming tomorrow, coming soon, so that we might prepare ourselves to be ready to be in heaven with him. And so that return should excite us. If fear comes in your life when you hear about Jesus is coming soon, then that's probably a signal to you that maybe there's some things that you need to deal with in your life. Because the coming of the Lord will bring our faith into sight. And I believe that that day is going to be soon, because as you look at Scripture and you look at the Middle East and all the things that are happening there, man, that's, I don't know if you can get a better description of how soon the return of Christ could be. So it's not really a time to play with salvation or grow slack in our commitment, but really a time to press in with God, make sure we're ready, and which happens to be really the number one area that Jesus is concerned about when it comes to end times. We see that in Matthew 24:42. It says, so you must keep watch, because you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. Some big questions they're asking us there. Are we watching? Are we paying attention to what's happening and going on in our world? Are we seeing the Scriptures being fulfilled before our eyes? Are we ready to meet Jesus today, or are there some things that we need to change? If Jesus came today, where would you go? If your life was taken from you today, where would you go? Would you go to heaven, or would you go to hell? That's not a good place to think about, but it's important for us that we do think of that, because it is very serious. Where will you spend eternity? The alternative of heaven is not a good place. The judgment of God, hell, the lake of fire, they are not good places. We need to be sure of our eternity, and we can be sure of our eternity if we have faith in Jesus Christ and we're living and following after him. Apostle Peter also warns us of this as well, for us to be looking for that coming and to be ready for that coming. After, for me, it keeps going blank here, so that's why I'm messing up here a little bit. But 2 Peter 3:10-13, that one's on the screen. But the day of the Lord will come unexpected as a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements will disappear in a fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we're looking forward to a new heaven, a new earth that he has promised. Keep the focus on Jesus. Keep that focus of heaven, of eternity, the coming of the Lord. The judgment is something we should all avoid at all cost. And on the same token, the other side, heaven should be something that we go after with everything that we have, because you don't know the day or the hour when the Lord should return. And so the Bible has given us signs, telling us we need to be ready, telling us that we need to keep concentrating on Jesus and being faithful to Jesus, because Jesus could come at any time. So we need to do that. Keep our eyes on Jesus and the coming of the Lord. And then lastly, in right living for Christians, we're to live committed lives for Jesus. Our lives really need to be about Jesus, not about ourselves, but about Him. And that we should be willing to dedicate our lives to Him. Titus 2:14 says it this way: He gave His life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, to make us His very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. You know, the Lord has done so much for us. He died for each and every one of us. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, there's more than believing to be expected from us. We're also to have commitment, dedication, a setting apart of our own lives to follow a new course in life, which is to follow Him. And so God does expect us to pledge our lives to Him. He expects us to have a pledge of allegiance. For those of you that have become Canadian citizens and you've come from other countries, you make a pledge of allegiance to Canada. Well, Lord is expecting us to make a pledge of allegiance to Him and to His kingdom. So that's something that's very important. So commitment, dedication, a setting apart. He's expecting us to pledge our lives to follow Him. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Obviously, God desires to see committed people that want to serve God. He looks upon our earth to see who are those people that are committed to the Lord. And so that's something I think that we need to desire to be, even as a congregation, as a church, that we want to be committed followers of Jesus Christ, because that grabs His attention. And as it grabs His attention, He tells us He will help us and be with us. Psalm 37:5 says that, commit everything you do to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will help you. That's what He desires to do as He sees committed followers of Jesus Christ. So this morning, I hope you see that right living as Christians is not something that should be considered as optional. There's a lot of ministers, teachers out there today that are trying to tell you that it's optional. It's not optional. You will not see that word in the Bible. The Bible says we are to live in right ways. A godly life, still important. Having wisdom from above certainly is needed in our world today. I pray that myself. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, keeping our eyes on the return of Christ and how soon it could be. Living committed lives. Those are really all things that are expected by God. Now, a lot of that stuff for us should be basic Christianity to us. And I hope I didn't bore you this morning by telling you about some of the basic things of Christianity. But sometimes we can forget the basics. And when you forget the basics, you usually mess up pretty good. So we don't want that to happen. And one of the reasons as well for this, as Paul is speaking to the Titus and to the people that were under his care, is about attracting people to Jesus. We want to attract people to Jesus, not just by having a church meeting, not just by having singing and worship, not just by, you know, out there proclaiming. He wants us to proclaim as well through our lifestyle, that when people look at us, they can say, that person is different. Not in a bad way, but they can see that we're different. There's something good that that person has that I don't have, and I want it. That's how we need to be living our lives and looking forward to our Lord. God is calling us as Christians to right living, to be a testimony to to our world, to draw people to Jesus by the way that we live. That's something I want to do better at. I want to do a better job by living my life that it would draw others to Jesus Christ. Because I find that lots of times as you're out there in your world, they're not listening to what you have to say, but they're watching you and they're keeping a close eye on you. And, you know, if you slip up or mess up, that ain't a good thing, is it? So we need to be saying, God, help me. I want to be a person that lives righteously. I want to be that person to live like Jesus. You know, that old the old phrase that used to be around years back, what would Jesus do? To remind ourselves, what would Jesus do in this situation? How would Jesus respond? And to keep that in our minds and in our reflection. And so as we close here, I'm going to ask the musicians that they come back to the instruments. And maybe you're here today and you've never made a choice to serve Jesus Christ. Or maybe you fell away or you went a different path and you've been realizing that I need to come back to Jesus. Well, I would love to pray with you this morning, or if there's a lot of you, well, then we can have other folks will come up and pray with you too. But that's the most important thing for all of us. Do I know Jesus? Am I serving Jesus? Is Jesus in me? Is Jesus coming out through me? No, God forgive us when it's not happening that way. And sometimes we're human beings, and yes, we can mess up. But I pray that in these days and times that we're living in, that all of us, myself included, that we might speak as Jesus would speak, live as Jesus would live, be a testimony that our lives would draw others to Jesus Christ. You know, our world is going in some terrible directions right now. We need to see a change. But that change starts with you and I. As we live for Jesus, as we strive to be that testimony for Jesus, as we strive to be that witness for Jesus, to draw people unto him. That's what we need. That's what we need to see. So as we close here this morning, if there are those that maybe you haven't accepted Christ, and that's the most important part here this morning. We don't want you to leave this place without knowing Jesus, without making that choice to serve him, because that's really important for you right now. Lots of people in here have made that choice. So maybe you're thinking like, oh, well, I don't want to be embarrassed by doing that or coming forward. Well, if you don't want to come forward, you can make a prayer where you are. And just let it come from your heart. I don't want to put words in your mouth. It just needs to be a prayer that comes from in here. Not up here in the head, but in here in the heart. And welcome him. Welcome him. Welcome him. It's been a prayer of my own as well. Jesus, I want more of you in my life. There's just too much happening in this world. And I want to be that right representative for you. I want to touch people. I want to draw people to you, Jesus. So Lord, come. Come into my heart, come into my mind, come into my attitudes, come into my actions, come into everything that I do. Lord, it's a fresh surrender to you. A fresh surrender to you. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to him, I freely give. We give it to you, Jesus.